You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Two underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy executive in the house, King Wall Street as well. And you said during the break, Corey, the most astounding thing to you right now is Chris Hogan. Ah, there's one!
No, I didn't speak. I was, my mouth was opening as my finger was pushing the button. So I wanted, you know what, though?
We have savvy listeners. Remember Tammy Pardue, who showed up to DST League? She tweets, Hogan is fine for a best ball format on Twitter.
Yep.
Regular league, you won't pick the right week.
It's not ever going to happen. And I'm wondering, who are these? The Chris Hogan people, please, 844-843-6879, please. Please sell me on what you see in Chris Hogan that he's being drafted before Rishard Matthews. I don't understand the Chris Hogan people at all. The Chris Hogan people think Barack Obama was born in Kenya. You know what I'm saying?
It's like Greg said. It's like Greg told his league mates. He said, look at the scheme. Chris Hogan is still the outside receiver, a downfield guy. Like Matt says, James White's going to get a boost. Here's the thing. Okay, sometimes, Corey, you've seen this before. Like a running back, like a premier running back gets a major injury, right? And the guy, they have to take two players to step forward to replace him because this one guy is so good at everything he does, it takes two players to replace him. You just don't replace a Julian Edelman with one guy. He's way too good. You need a variety of players in order to step forward to fill that void. To the Patriots' credit, they have it. But it's not as simple as one guy goes down and another guy steps into the role. It's not that simple.
Here's the thing with the whole Edelman going down and what tells you about the Patriots. I don't think anybody has downgraded Tom Brady's projections, really, or his ranking. So, I mean, that speaks volumes to the Patriots team. I like Hogan, but I'm not paying a sixth-round price or seventh-round price.
I'll tell you this. When Danny Amendola went last night, because that's the thing that happens now, when Danny Amendola went in the 10th round, I was like, I like this better than Chris Hogan three rounds earlier.
Yeah, I agree.
I had no issue.
Danny Amendola's never going to be on the field, but guess
He's
what?
He's not healthy.
You're not going to be able to predict when Chris Hogan is going to be something that I hope in week one I play a team with Chris Hogan and they start in lineup. You can tell I'm getting upset because I'm clapping my hands.
We hate Chris Hogan. We hate Chris Hogan.
I don't understand the Chris Hogan thing. I don't get it. Somebody please explain this to me. I'm willing to listen to an opposing argument on Chris Hogan, but you got to come correct. Chris Hogan is going ahead of Rishard Matthews. Rishard Matthews is healthy. He's the only one that's healthy. And Chris Hogan on a team with Gronk and Brandon Cooks is going ahead of this guy? What are y'all doing?
I'll friggin' explain it to you, right? This is Bill from Boston. He's a friggin' Patriot, and if you don't like it, I'll meet you down at Dot Avenue.
We got more coming your way that doesn't involve Chris Hogan, so get excited for that. It's the Road Rush for the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Factor is running another NFL Survivor Contest. $1,000. Winner takes all. It's free to enter. Simply sign up. www.fantasyfactor.com. Make your pick each week. The last man standing takes home a grand. Someone's going to win $1,000. It might as well be you. It is free to enter. Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site that is exclusive to single entry contests. www.fantasyfactor.com. Sign up now. NFL Survivor, $1,000. Winner take all. The other, one of the many other things, gentlemen, that stood out from my draft last night was some of the tight end runs, right? The tight end guys. I played quarterback chicken in the GST. I didn't do that here. I took Jameis Winston in the eighth.
You learned.
You know what? I took Winston in the eighth when I thought he was like the last quarterback I liked on the board. The next quarterback wasn't taken from the two rounds later. And I'm like, okay, so I'm good with, I'm happy with what I did. So instead I played tight end chicken. And as I said at the top, Hunter Henry is my starting tight end. I don't know how to feel about that, Corey. I know Matt's cool with it.
I don't like it.
You don't like it.
I don't like that at all. As your tight end one, you played tight end chicken too long.
I know.
He's a tight end two.
Yeah.
Eric Ebron, Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
So, something like that is better, you know, than Hunter Henry.
So I played chicken. Basically, I drafted Jameis Winston, as I said. And if I didn't draft Jameis Winston, I drafted the tight end there. I would have been a bit better. So I could have drafted Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph, Eric Ebron.
You'd have got one of the top guys, and then you'd have been able to steal. Because I'm quite sure Jameis Winston was probably, what, the seventh, eighth quarterback off the board?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, I think, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was 8.
Yeah, you still had plenty. Matthew Stafford would have been there on that turn.
I don't like Stafford's beginning of the season schedule. I think it's tough. I was looking at that. So I thought about that, and you're right. I could have done that. I should have taken the tight end, but there was like four guys I wanted. I was like, all right. Winston was really the last quarterback I really kind of liked in that spot. While the tight ends, there's four of them. Of course, all four of them went in the same round, and I got caught. So on Hunter Henry. Matt, you're like the, he's like the devil on my shoulder for that. You're like the angel, so.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with Henry. I think Henry's going to be involved in this offense. I mean, I've somehow become the Hunter Henry guy. I'm more of the Austin Hooper guy. That's my tight end.
I wanted to pair Henry and Hooper. That was my goal. But I took Henry in the 11th. I came back with Jonathan Williams in the 12th. And Austin Hooper then went in the middle of the 12th. Like, It's funny. The dude's got it. Took Eddie Lacy. Picked 11, right? So,
right.
He just all the rap. He wanted to take Lacy and then come back with Rawls. And the person that picks 12, 13 got Rawls. And like he was like furiously banging the table. It was awesome.
Interesting, the news yesterday that Pete Carroll said that he considers them both co-starters.
It's a mess. It's a mess in Seattle.
You know what happens when you have co-starters? You have
no starters. Well, yeah. He said co-starters, but CJ Prozise is great. Chris Carson is great. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like I said, you know, that's going to be a situation you want to steer clear of, you know, in the earlier rounds.
Finally.
Because it's going to be a committee. Finally.
Finally.
What are you talking about? Did I ever say I wanted to take any of those running backs in the early rounds? No. Now we can move on after you've been corrected again.
What are you, I was like, never.
Now, listen.
You had.
We have sat in these seats for the last 2 months, and about when we did that first Roto Experts mock draft, you took Eddie Lacy in the fifth round.
Yes, in June, I did. I did, because I thought he was a good value at that point. Okay, but then I heard from Dr. A about the ankle.
Before you heard from Dr. A, you heard from the fantasy executive.
The fantasy executive did not break down the ankle for me. You had the opportunity to bring Jeff up here and break down the ankle for me, and you did not do it like Dr. A did it. If I draft Eddie Lacy in the 19th round, you will still scream at me.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes,
no,
he would.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
No, I would not.
Yes.
I don't think you would.
Yeah. If I told you I went Lamar Miller in 17 and Eddie Lacy 19, you would go, how can you do that, Scott? I cannot let you do that. I cannot believe that Rod Smith was still on the board and you took Lacy.
Who are you imitating, Scott?
What? I'm imitating you.
Oh.
Woo-hoo-hoo, I'm so funny.
I love the joy of working with Scott Engel on a day-to-day basis. It's wonderful.
It's outstanding. So an index... And into this falling down draft board, I think you mentioned a couple of moments ago. It's LeGarrette Blount, who I think I've seen go up and down and up and down and up and down. LeGarrette Blount, I feel like, is losing steam again. Because you're hearing rumors like... They're looking for another running back. Then you hear rumors, hey, he's going to get a billion carries and he's going to score touchdowns. Matt, where do you think the value currently is LeGarrette Blount?
I'm not a LeGarrette Blount believer. My boy Vlad was. It was the one pick I really didn't want to do. But, you know, when you have a partnership, you can do a give and take. We took Blunt at the end of the 11th
round. And then
round.
That round. Yeah, that
so
round
I didn't have a
excellent.
Problem with that. Mm-hmm. I wanted Procise, so on the wraparound, we got Procise, but it did cost us Cooper Kupp. I would have rather had Procise Kupp on that turn.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I agree with you with that. LeGarrette Blount, what did I say he went in my league? LeGarrette Blount went in the 8th round here right after Paul Perkins, right before Duke Johnson. Is that cool?
That's too high.
Yeah, that's
it's
crazy.
Too high. It's too high.
I'd
yeah.
rather have Paul Perkins. And I don't have any Paul
I won't
Perkins.
Go that, I won't go that far.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, like Perkins and Blount, like they're in the same area for me. I think they're for a lot of people. They're talking about improving the running back situation. Heck, if the Bills going to tear it down, trade LeSean McCoy back to the Eagles, I still think Blount's going to have a role. That team's going to move the offense. It's going to be like he's going to be like a goal line hammer. To me, I almost see like right now LeGarrette Blount and Eddie Lacy like in the same lens.
I don't think he's going to get cut just for the fact that he was so cheap. They didn't give him a lot
right.
of money. It's not
going
to free up a ton
but
of space.
You know, some people overreact, and I people are saying that you know Blount is like done. I don't think he's quite done. He was in a great situation last year. He's just got to learn to fit better in this offense.
I got a really good tweet. I think we all did when it comes to Rich, and Rich tweeted at us. And he brings the point we bring up a lot, but I want to highlight it. And it doesn't just have to do with Chris Hogan. It has to do with any of these players, any of these quote-unquote sleepers, any of these like sexy names. When you pull them up as far as they are going, in the 7th round in this draft, in the 6th round in Matt's draft, in the 7th round in Jake's draft, when you pull them up that much, any of this sleeper quote-unquote appeal, it goes away because he has to get this value now when you're being taken in the 6th and 7th round. Like he has to match up with the other players in that round because if he doesn't, he's hurting you. So the fun of taking a Chris Hogan, which is great if you get him late, it all goes away when you need him to perform well and you take him where he is going. It's the James Paxton effect. When he was a top 20, you take him as a top 20 pitcher, he has to perform as a top 20 pitcher. When you take Chris Hogan as your wide receiver 3, he is an every week starter for you.
It's too risky. It's way too risky for where you draft him. You're exactly right. With James Paxton, I would have had a lot more of the confidence. I think it's different.
Let me tell you something. I can't wait until I go out there and put my dominant lineup against teams with Chris Hogan as their wide receiver 3. I can't wait to those Sundays when that happened because I'm going to make you pay.
Yeah, I think the thing with Paxton was, I mean, I looked at it as totally different. I was willing to keep paying up for Paxton because I saw the data. He changed his mechanics and all that. Hogan, look, there is things to like here about Hogan. There really is. You know, and I'm seeing smart people take him in the 6th round. So I don't think it's ludicrous. I just, something I'm personally not going to do.
All right. So, like, what I want to figure out with the Hogan thing, right, is what is expected projection-wise this season for Chris Hogan?
So let me say this again. This is what the guy that drafted Chris Hogan last night, and I flipped out about it, sent me a tweet this morning or last night or whatever. He said in 2016, Chris Hogan, when he played at least 60% of Patriots snaps with Tom Brady, he averaged 13.5 PPR points a game, finishing as around wide receiver 25. Okay, that's the upside of Chris Hogan.
That came from a guy in your league that drafted Chris Hogan, right?
Correct.
Yeah, he's trying to justify his pick.
I understand. Yeah. He tweeted that out. It was a tweet by Graham Barfield, is who it is. And that's great. But the problem is, number one, Chris Hogan doesn't always play 60% of snaps. Like Malcolm Mitchell still exists. And as a Chris Hogan...
Go to rotoexperts.com right now, our new player cards. Type in Chris Hogan in the player search box. You will see a snap count by game that will tell you that.
And I'll tell you what... Malcolm Mitchell and Chris Hogan as an Hogan owner last year is very frustrating. It was a thing.
I want to look that up. I want to see how it off.
Alshon Jeffrey played in like 4 games last year and had a better year than Chris Hogan. Tavon Austin had a better year than Chris Hogan. Jeremy Curley had a better year than Chris Hogan. Brandon Marshall played in a half a game. Dontrell Inman, Ted Ginn Jr.
On the block.
Muhammad Sanu Anquan Boldin. Lord. Come on now.
Muhammad
These are the
Sanu?
Names that had a better year than Chris Hogan, and there's more weapons in the offense now. What the hell is wrong with y'all?
Everybody who drafts him is going to try to put a public relations spin on it. It's like almost like, you know how real teams have a PR guy? When fantasy owners turn it to their own public relations machines and try to spin every pick that they've made.
Rocky Marciano.
Like, if a man wants to draft Chris Hogan, let them draft Chris Hogan.
I feel like people forget that Brandon Cooks exists now in New England. It's going to hurt Chris Hogan in a monster way. It's amazing. All right, we'll come back. More right after this.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Chris Hogan conversation continues.
Yeah.
As Matt says, the question is the wide receivers that go after him, right? Like, what you can make. At least in my league, wide receivers that go after him. Tyrell Williams, Corey Coleman, Dante Moncrief, Marvin Jones.
Dante
Jr.
Moncrief.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Matthews, Ted Ginn, Adam Thielen.
Well, I would take Thielen over him in a heartbeat.
1,000 times. Yeah. Zay Jones, Mike Wallace, Kenny Britt.
A number one wide receiver is Zay Jones.
Corey Davis, John Brown, Rashard Matthews.
What are we doing?
Rashard Matthews, I'd definitely take him over him.
Listen, I'm insulted by this. Because we sat up here and we've been talking football since the damn NFL draft. Mm-hmm. And these people haven't learned nothing. Mm. They haven't learned anything. When you want to sit up here.
Like people are going to make their own decisions for themselves a lot of times.
They automatically put him into Julian Edelman's role. They're two completely different players. You can read this guy's game log from last season. Come on now. 3 for 60, 4 for 59, 1 for 3, 4 for 114.
Go to RotoExperts.com right
there.
Right
1
now.
For 39, 2 for 25, yep. 4 for 91, 4 for 70, 4 for 53. The game we had, 129 yards, he caught 5 passes. 1 for 18, 1 for 22, 4 for 27. What are you getting from this?
Corey, you go to rotoexperts.com right now in the player search box, and you type in, you get those game logs with the snap counts, et cetera, and how the percentage used. Those numbers are with the snap percentages that you talked about, Greg, because he played over 60% of snaps. You'll see that on rotoexperts.com on his player card for much of the season. Corey. Learning past lessons. You know what this reminds me of? Remember when Jordy went out 2 years ago? It reminds me of when everybody pushed Davante Adams way up the board.
And he flopped.
And he flopped. Chris Hogan is not going to be anything different than I think he was last year. Like, again, it's not that simple. It's not that one guy goes out and another guy steps into his role. Opportunity is often there. Opportunity does not always lead to production. But this is different, though, because as Greg said, he's not stepping into the same role. People are assuming that what they look at depth charts and they say that wide receiver two is gone. This other wide receiver two moves up. He gets all the opportunities. That it's not that simple.
Not at all. I mean, it's flawed thinking. I understand you want to pop somebody right into that spot. Okay, when Spencer Ware gets hurt and he's out for the season, yes, you go get Kareem Hunt because you look at that system and what Kareem Hunt can do as a starting running back with that job to himself. Andy Reid came out and said Kareem Hunt's going to be our guy. So when you push him up the draft board, that makes sense. When Edelman goes out, you assume Belichick ain't said nothing.
Yeah,
and you assume that Chris Hogan's going to step in there and take over that role. Chris Hogan was slated to be a special teams player going into the year last year.
You know, and
you don't replace Julian Edelman with one guy. The next man up theory does not work across the board.
It's just, look, Malcolm Mitchell is going to get a little bit of a bump here. Amendola, if he can stay on the field. The interesting, telling thing the other day, Tom Brady was interviewed, and he talked about trust. And the first player that came out of his mouth was Danny Amendola.
That means something to me. It really does.
Did you trust him to stay healthy, honestly?
Chris Manzo, the star of Foul Territory.
Tonight on the Fantasy Sports Network.
It's tonight on the ding.
Finish it.
He went to high school with Chris Hogan, right? They went to high school together, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they're just friends.
They went to high school together.
They're very good friends.
Yeah, but Chris Manzo to call Chris Hogan, and so we can talk to Chris Hogan and ask him what the hell is he doing in fantasy football on this?
Now you can ask Chris. Do you have his newest number?
I do.
Chris Hogan's going to tell you that, you know, he's just taking it one day at a time.
Not off the air, man.
He'd be like, people crazy.
It's like, I'm no Julian Edelman. He might say that.
Oh, my goodness.
So, here's one of the things I found interesting last night. Stephon Diggs, when he went off the board, everyone's like, oh! Stephon Diggs was climbing last night. He went in the fifth round. My boy Keenan Allen went in the middle of the fourth. I thought that was pretty good value. You mentioned Davante Adams earlier, Corey. He was the name that really fell. He went back-to-back with Golden Tate toward the end of the fourth round. I thought that was a really nice spot.
I like that value on him. I like the value on him right there. A lot of people not in on Davante Adams.
No, they're not.
Yeah, a lot of people are not. I think that might be like a me and Jake thing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm in.
Yeah, so I'm in on Adams. I'll take Adams early in the third. You know what I'm saying? Like right after Demaryius Thomas goes, I'm ready to jump on Davante Adams.
I was the high guy on Davante Adams a few months ago.
Really?
I've always been on him.
Okay, Scott.
Although you know,
was a high guy on Eddie Lacy a couple months ago too.
Well, you got a high guy on DeMarco Murray 2 days ago.
Well, considering that you have Eddie Lacy ranked 500 running back, anybody's a high guy compared to you.
Yep.
I guess that's true. I thought Terrell Pryor, he's kind of settled in as his middle of the third round. Before DeAndre Hopkins and Alshon Jeffery and Allen Robinson and Michael Crouch, he goes before all of these guys, which I found a little bit interesting.
I've seen him going in the second round still.
Second round still, yeah. You're seeing Terrell Pryor. That's kind of interesting. You know what's wild about this? Drew Brees up before Tom Brady.
Drew Brees throws 5,000 yards and over 30 touchdowns every year. People seem to forget that.
And you know what? Maybe there's some people who are thinking on that other plane where, oh, he lost Edelman. Maybe I'll take Brees ahead of him.
Potentially. What else did I find interesting here? I really thought that it was very good value, in my estimation here. Was Doug Martin. I thought, maybe not great value, it's depending on what happens. But in that sixth round, when you get Dougie fresh, You could be buying into something.
Yeah, you could. But, I mean, I'm not waiting three games. I'm not getting this guy in the sixth round waiting three games for him.
Okay.
He's had, like I said, he's had two awesome years. He's had three crap years. I mean, I don't know. I do like the offense. You could sway me on that. But I don't want to pay the sixth round price.
Yeah, I got him in the eighth, and I'm fine with that. And I always think it's so funny that you call him Dougie Fresh, but you don't know where that came from.
Nope.
I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
Slick Rick.
Really? Nope.
Wow. He doesn't know who Dougie Fresh is.
Well, he was how old were you when Dougie
wasn't born yet?
I know. It's just funny. It's just funny.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you are correct, Scott. And you knew we've had this conversation
all
before.
All the way to heaven, seventh heaven.
So you obviously knew that already.
Yes.
He said that twice.
I wanted to reiterate it.
You know what's interesting? The dude that took Chris Hogan in the seventh took Kelsey in the third and Breeze in the fourth.
Mouth in the house.
I don't. Yeah, that whole thing is screwed up. Do you play him in week one?
And is this league 4-point touchdown league?
It is. Yeah. Can I read you his team?
Yeah.
All right. Started with Mike Evans. It's a good pick.
Can't mess that one up.
Can't mess that up. Second round comes back at DeMarco Murray.
Can't mess that one up.
Fine. Kelsey in the third.
Okay.
Breeze in the fourth.
Okay. Now,
the quarterback tied it in the first four rounds.
Now he has four players on his team right now, right? He has Mike and really the core of the team is Mike Evans and DeMarco Murray. Okay.
When you take a quarterback and a tight end in the first four rounds,
who the wide receiver two
hamstring your whole roster construction.
Who's the wide receiver two on this team?
Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
You're cool with that.
He survived. He survived.
Who's the running back two?
Tevin Coleman.
Okay.
You're
not
cool
that bad.
So you cool with that?
So far so good.
You're happy with that.
Uh-huh. He survived.
Right. Who's the third wide receiver?
Chris Hogan.
No. Who's the flex?
I'll read you the next three players.
Okay.
Darren McFadden. Okay. Quiz Rogers.
Okay.
Robbie Anderson.
Okay.
Tyler Lockett.
The bye weeks are going to destroy this team.
He sounds
team.
Like he's got really good running backs for the first 3 weeks.
The bye weeks are going to destroy this team. This team's going to be hard. That team's
going
to be
hard. Yeah, but you know
horrible.
What, though?
He's going to rely on Drew
you know?
Brees. He's going to rely on Drew Brees carrying the team.
Yeah, but with bye weeks, your team usually changes a lot.
I play
by the time
it differently.
The bye weeks
I don't care what my quarterback can go out there and score 10 points. The rest of my lineup is going to hammer you.
Yeah, it's, I can't do this thing, man. So I'm actually talking.
Don't lose to him.
He's texting. He's texting me right now.
Tell him to call in so I can yell at him.
All right.
Tell him to call in so I can yell at him. All right. So I can scold him. You know what I'm saying?
I think he's just gonna text Greg.
Well, I hope not. I hope he calls in.
844-843-6879.
That's right, 844-843-6879. He says, you're not a quarterback tight end guy. I'll see if my pickups can neutralize me taking the quarterback and the tight end, the third and the fourth.
Your pickups were made last night in the damn draft.
I have the running backs to get me by early, Jaquizz Rodgers, Darren McFadden. I'm not talking about this league. I'm talking about experts in general on a quarterback tight end job. Tight end guys. Well, that makes sense.
That's a spin. And he's already talking about the free agent list. He's already back.
That's never a good sign.
When you
just finished your draft and you're looking, you know, who's on the waiver wire, how am I going to improve?
He's not making his pickups. You made your pickups last night. You had 18, 16 opportunities to make pickups last night.
Yes.
You did a poor job. So call up so you can get scolded by the fantasy executive.
Listen, I am a quarterback snob. I've said that time and time again. But in a 4-point passing league, I'm going to push the quarterbacks down.
There's no reason to do it.
And you've said that a lot, obviously. And most experts have.
And last night, you got Jameis Winston.
Yep. Same.
And it's friends.
And
same.
Friends.
Quarterback snob takes Jameis Winston. Please pass me fingertips. Thank you.
Hey, Don Burns, let us know when Greg Boy
call
in.
I believe he called in, but I want to do it after the break. Okay. So I want to give him the time that he deserves.
Yes.
For you, Corey.
Thank you.
And you can feel free to
send me the draft board, Greg.
What if he tells Scott to be quiet because he was drafting Eddie Lacy?
That'd be crazy, Scott. He'd come over here and start scolding you.
Ain't nobody who drafts a quarterback and a tight end in the first four rounds can scold me.
There you go, Scotty.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to him after the break. We're going to continue over the draft boards. There are. I also want to get into the preseason games for tonight because every team in the NFL plays.
In New Orleans,
I got to ask you a question about your friend too.
Has he
beaten you in kickball? And
he's on the team.
Yeah, he's always on your team.
He's on the team. He's okay. Captain. Oh, kind of the captain.
What was that other game you played too?
What other game? Spikeball?
Spikeball.
Yeah, he beat you in Spikeball?
Well, I mean, sometimes he beats me, I beat him. Yeah. Are you trying to make fun of like what I do?
No, I'm asking. No,
I think
I'm
he
not.
Was. He is.
Corey's saying don't let him beat you. I'm wondering if he's beaten you in other types of things you play in.
Yeah, of course he has. We're friends, you know, whatever.
Hey, Scott, you win some, you lose some.
There you go.
359 days away. Happy birthday, Gene. All right, take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to my buddy again. Preseason games from tonight. Come to join next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Roto Experts in the Morning. So, as much fun as the draft is, I don't do like the 20 drafts a year that Matt Mundica does. So when I have my one, I'm so in a week and a day. it's fun for me to be able to break it down with you guys. And I know you guys are like my team because it's literally the team that we talk about every day, every player that Corey Parson likes and Matt Modiga likes. And I miss Cooper Kupp, so I didn't get anybody Scott likes. Dwayne Washington, undrafted, by the way, in this draft. I'm sorry,
you got
Scott.
No one I liked.
Yeah, I got to, should I pick up Dwayne Washington?
What?
Should I pick up Dwayne Washington?
Yeah, make me happy.
I only want to do it to make you happy. Yes. That's the only reason. But we were talking about my buddy that drafted Chris Hogan, and Chris Hogan's been a major topic of conversation this morning. And with us now on the line is the person that drafted Chris Hogan. It's my buddy Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Pleasure.
Greg, I think Washington was drafted. This is why I can't delegate anything to Adam. I had to go double-check.
Dwayne Washington was not drafted. DeAndre Washington was drafted.
No?
DeAndre Washington was drafted. There you go.
Got it. All right.
There you go.
Wrong Washington.
Who's Dwayne Washington? Fill me in.
That's perfect. That was the perfect.
That's the perfect answer, yes. He's Chris Hogan's roommate.
Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
Running Corey, back Detroit.
Good morning, Jeff. How you doing? Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. Nice to make your acquaintance.
For now.
Corey, I know you. We're boys. We daff all the time when I see you, and now you got to throw me under the rug. I wake up. Greg tells me to call in. I'm in bed.
Must
I gotta listen to this.
Yeah, well, I woke up several
Corey was saying
hours
you were in bed when you drafted.
All right, so Jeff, you listen to the program on a consistent basis, Jeffrey?
I try to as much as I can.
Thank you, I appreciate that. So let's get into this draft a little bit. I think your start in the first two rounds, I think you did a good job there. I want to ask you about drafting Travis Kelce and leaving Dalvin Cook on the board at that spot in the third round. I mean, I think that should have been your pick right there. You let Sussman get Dalvin Cook. Why'd you put the tight end in play here? Because you could have took Dalvin Cook, and I'm almost certain when you came back around on the turn back in the fourth round, Travis Kelce probably still would have been there.
Yeah, so I know that the guy at 12 is a notorious tight end drafter, and I really wanted to lock myself into Kelce or Gronk before the draft. Look, I know Greg's going to be like Mr. Sexy this year because he's trying a new approach, but coming from a guy that's safe like me, I'm going to get a Tyrell Williams as a pickup this year. So why not lock myself into a top two tight end, a top two quarterback, or top three quarterback, whatever you want to call it. And then I know that those positions are good for the rest of the draft.
Now there's
people are drafting two quarterbacks, two tight ends. I don't have to deal with that.
So now it's 11 other people in this league. How are you certain that you're going to be able to get the Tyrell Williams off the waiver wire? Because you know,
that's the perfect question, Corey. Yeah. Everybody's so confident that they're getting this year's Matt Ryan and all that.
Well, Jeff, how do you so you're certain that you're going to I don't like that you are on draft night. You have the opportunity to put the team together. You shouldn't be thinking about the waiver wire on draft night, Jeff.
But that's my point, though. So I'm getting myself through 5 weeks. I'm using Darren McFadden. I'm using Jaquizz Rodgers until, you know, I have those trigger fingers to go out and pick somebody up. I'm not scared of dropping my 9th, 10th round pick. Other people have quick trigger fingers. That's the answer to your question.
Okay.
I think I'm going to get that guy.
Okay, yeah, so, but you're supposed to get the correct players
Greg
on.
Never
you're supposed to get the correct round. Players on draft night, though, and not worry about going to the free agent list.
But I took a couple of flyers on some receivers that I'm hoping hit. And
Scott,
if
you're
not,
the Tyler Lockett.
Then
you're
I'll
good.
Just drop them. Like,
I'm not a fan of Tyler Lockett.
All right,
what's wrong with Tyler Lockett?
Okay. Let me answer this one, okay? Tyler Lockett is a gadget player who's a better NFL receiver than he is a fantasy receiver. You cannot rely on him. You will likely be cutting Tyler Lockett.
I mean, we're talking 2 years ago. Tavon Austin was a gadget player, too, and he got $70 million? Like,
yeah, but
he probably got $69 million too much.
Jeff, the $70 million that
Tavon
he got
Austin has never
from
been
the
a
NFL
relevant fantasy
does not
player.
Affect us in fantasy. Last year, don't get me wrong, last year I was very high on Tyler Lockett. He bust. The Seattle Seahawks, their wide receiver two is whoever is going to be that specific day. Now,
Paul Richardson is starting for him, and Tavon Austin has never been a good fantasy player.
All right, now, and then you come back in the fourth round, you take Drew Brees. To me, I really don't have a problem with that. And fifth round.
I
like
Stephon. You have a problem going quarterback, tight end, back to back.
I have a problem with that. Yes. But I'm just talking about that one
in a vacuum.
In a vacuum, I don't have a problem with that. Now the Diggs in five, I like that. Coleman in six, I like that. And then in the seventh round, this Chris Hogan thing, Jeff. I'm going to be coronary this morning because I can't do this. You left guys on the board that were much better players to have. It's going to have more opportunity than Chris Hogan. Can you explain to me what you see? And I'm willing to listen to you, Jeff. Can you explain to me what you see in Chris Hogan?
I'll tell you the tidbit that Bill Belichick said this week that sold me.
Bill Belichick lies like a rug, but go ahead. I'm listening.
He goes, Chris Hogan is one of our best players. Now, Belichick never says anything like that. And Tom Brady has a rapport with him. He's the first name that came out of his mouth.
No, it is not. Danny Amendola was
Danny
the first name. Amendola
was the first name he said.
I'm not buying that.
Okay,
you can't believe a coach who's just. Of course, a coach is going to talk up his players. What do you expect him to say?
I'm just saying, from the second half of last season, when Hogan stepped up, and now there's no Edelman, he's going to be the guy.
When the second half of last season,
110 catches. I need 9-10 touchdowns out of it.
Oh, you're not going to get it.
You're
not going to get 9-10 touchdowns. You're not going to get 9-10 touchdowns.
Chris Hogan is not stepping into Julian Edelman's role.
He had boomer bust games last year, Jeff.
He
had boomer bust games last year, Jeff. Brandon Cooks is dead.
Here's the problem with everybody. Everybody puts Edelman as this Wes Welker guy. Edelman is so much better than Wes Welker. He plays so much.
Wes Welker's a Hall of Famer.
He does so much for that offense.
Wes Welker's a Hall of Famer.
I'm not saying Wes Welker's not a Hall of Famer. Wes Welker plays a totally different position than Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman could also theoretically be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you're right.
You're making an excellent point that about what a great player he is. The problem is that the Patriots don't have one player to step up and take the place of Julian Edelman. It's going to take about three guys to do that, and Hogan's going to be part of a committee that
Jeff,
does that.
Jeff, let me ask you this, Jeff. The interesting thing that you said to me was that you said to us is that the second half of the season last year. What do you consider as the second half of the season?
I had the last 6 weeks of Chris Hogan's season last year when he stepped up, quote unquote. Here you go. Last 6 weeks against the Jets, 4 for 70. Next week, 4 for 23 and a touchdown. Next week, 5 for 129 and a touchdown.
That's why that average boosted, Jeff. That's why that point per game average boosted because of that big game right there.
Week 15, one catch, 18 yards. Week 16, one catch, 22 yards. Week 17, four catches, 27 yards.
He's our best player.
So that one game boosted that average to that 13 points.
He didn't step up.
He's a JV Deshaun Jackson. If that Deshaun Jackson puts up better, was Deshaun Jackson on the board when this pick was made last night, Jeff?
He was not.
Greg, I have a question.
Yep.
We talk about Belichick and how they locked up the first overall bye in the AFC.
Yes. Yep.
Read me Chris Hogan's playoffs. Please.
Oh, the playoffs! The Patriots played two games in the playoffs.
What, Corey? You're the whole Belichick isn't about his game plan guy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Chris Hogan went off in the playoffs, Jeff. 4 for 95 in the first game against Houston. 9 for 180 and 2 against Pittsburgh. 4 for 57 in the Super Bowl.
Two good games in the playoffs.
That's what I'm waiting for this year.
So, okay.
You know what, though?
That 9 for 180 against Pittsburgh is the game that you're circling out as the game that you think that he is going to duplicate those kind of numbers where he's going to put up these type of Julio Jones type numbers. This is Chris Hogan we're talking about.
Jeff, Jermaine Kurtz used
to
put up big numbers.
Jermaine
Kurtz used to put up big numbers in the playoffs and was never relevant during the regular season, ever.
Now, when I'm looking at the rest of your team, I like the Cameron.
I like Lockett as the number two now there.
No, Paul Richardson's not going to be the number two. Paul Richardson's the number two.
Tyler Lockett's not going to be the number two, Jeff.
Paul Richardson was banged up. Okay. All right, we'll see about that.
Paul Richardson is starting right now.
Jeff, come out of the studio.
Tyler Lockett's coming off a major injury.
You can't look at two wide receiver sets. Nobody plays every down with a fullback. You can't look at two wide receiver sets.
Can I ask you a question, Jeff?
Not how it works.
I'm just curious. What's your favorite football team?
The New York Jets.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Jeff, listen.
At least he didn't say
come
Patriots.
Out of the studio before you go to work, Jeff. We got to have a conversation.
Can't do that. I'm sorry.
Any more you want to do about his team?
Oh, no. By the way, you guys should totally get into Spikeball if you don't know about it.
Does Chris Hogan play Spikeball?
Totally does.
Nice one, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, and you know, you're looking. Hey, Jeff, I think you did a decent job. It came together. The Chris Hogan thing was terrible. I think the Chris Hogan thing was pitiful, and then the Tyler Lockett thing, it was bad. And Devin Funchess, you're going to have to do some work with this wide receiver core. But I'm not being nice. Yeah, Jeff's a homeboy. You feel what I'm saying? I'm not just going to sit up here and diss Jeff. I'm trying to get where the Chris Hogan love is coming from, Jeff. I'll be honest with you. And I don't like two coming out the first four rounds with a tight end and a quarterback on the same team. I think that's a mistake, Jeff. But you know what? I wish you well, Jeff. And come by the studio and holler at me sometime, Jeff. Thanks for being a good sport.
I'll stop by for you guys. I never do it anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
Greg never invites me. He doesn't want me around.
He's like that. Greg's very about Greg.
If I had to take my draft back, I'd take Fitz over Kelsey. And I'd call it a day. But
yeah, if you had to take your draft back, I would do it, yes.
Jeff, we appreciate the time and having some fun with us this morning.
Thanks,
I'll talk to you later, bud. All right, we'll come back after the break. We'll start talking what's coming up next tonight. The last preseason game, and it's all real, starting next Thursday, 1 week away officially, with 7 days. We do it up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Tonight, the final preseason affair for every team outside the Texans and Cowboys. That game was canceled. Good job by the NFL canceling that one. Not a good job by the NFL not canceling Saints-Ravens, because
I know.
Like, what is that? Seriously, like, all right, you cancel the Cowboys and the Texans because, like, that was the right decision, right? Like, you make the right move. Oh, thank you very much. Matt Wadico, this is some guy right here. So they cancel Ravens Saints. I'm sorry, they don't cancel Ravens Saints. They cancel Texans Cowboys. But Saints Ravens is playing. Why, Corey?
I don't know. I'm trying to understand why. You know what I'm saying? I can't fathom why they did that. I mean, down there in that same area, you know what I'm saying? It's tough times right now. So that game should have been canceled. I think it's going to be some more bad weather coming towards that area. So that game should be canceled. Like, I know people that was going to go to that game, and they were like, "Well, I'm not going now," because and they're like, "The game is canceled," and I'm like, "I don't think the game is canceled." Like, right. I just had this conversation last night with somebody.
The whole week, preseason week four should be canceled.
You know what? That's correct. Yep.
Absolutely, absolutely. But let me ask this, Matt. I agree with you. It totally should be canceled. But will you watch tonight?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch.
By the way, so buddy Jeff just texted me after that.
Yeah,
I thought, "Oh, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for breaking down my team." He goes, "I wanted to bet you guys that Chris Hogan would outscore Brandon Cooks this year," and I'm like, "What?"
I'm glad
I'll take that bet.
I'm glad he didn't say that on the radio.
He goes, "I don't think you can definitively tell me that he won't."
That's crazy. Brandon Cooks has been the number 12 and number 7 wide receiver in PPR. I know it's about half point.
Yeah.
The last two seasons, weeks 1 to 16. He's a supreme talent, and
we have failed.
Brandon Cooks could be the top 2 or 3 wide receiver in fantasy football this year. Chris Hogan might not be top 2 or 3 on his own.
Not do a good job this year getting people ready for their drafts. We didn't.
No, he just didn't listen.
We didn't do a good job.
All right, I'm going to go through.
I apologize.
Listen, we know the starters
you
are
tried,
not. We know the starters are not playing tonight, obviously. But I do want to go through some of the games, and you tell me what you're watching for quickly, you know, because it is the fourth preseason game. Rams and Packers, Scott, what are you looking for?
Rams and Packers. What am I looking for? Will they play Cooper Kupp? Will he be available? You know, it, I guess you know you can look to that. Will Jamal Williams get some run? And,
probably so.
You know, how will he look? There's not a whole lot to look for from there, but I would say it, maybe they give Kupp some reps because he didn't play last week. If the groin is better, you know, you want to see how Jamal Williams looks.
The speaking of the Packers, great story I read yesterday. You'll love this, Corey. Jeff Janis and Jordy Nelson for a practice switched their jerseys. Number one, to see if anyone would realize. Number two, to change their Madden ratings. So one would get faster, and one would be
that's
stronger.
Awesome, right there.
So nice. So Jeff Janis and Jordy Nelson switched their jerseys.
I think tonight, what you're looking for in all these games is the second half of the draft kind of players right. You're going to take a shot on later. See how they do. It's really tough to evaluate this week. It's more for guys that are on that roster bubble, see if they're going to make the team and stuff like that. Are the Rams going to play Jared Goff, or is he getting the ball?
I have to imagine he doesn't really play. Maybe a series of anything.
You know what's interesting, though? It's like, let's say Goff stinks up the house again. Sean Mannion has actually looked really good this preseason.
Yeah, people like Sean Mannion. Yeah. People like
Sean looked really good last week.
Jaguars and Falcons. I feel like Blake Bortles should play.
Needs to.
He does.
Fournette might play, though.
He needs as much reps as he can get.
Yeah, Fournette might play. I don't think any of the Falcons play. Maybe Austin Hooper, if anything. Maybe. Bengals and Colts. I hope Joe Mixon doesn't play. That'd be bad. And the Colts, we got a quarterback battle in Indy tonight. Stephen Morris.
I think Tulsi.
Scott Tulsi. We got big night in Indy
tonight.
Todd
Gurley opens up versus the Colts.
Let's see how Marlon Mack looks. Well,
I agree with that. We'll go through the rest of the game, get you the headlines, and we kick it off. Hour number 3 live on the Fantasy Sports Network. It comes your way.